Isaiah 6, I hope you have your Bibles with you there, because I want you to look at all of these words in these verses. And I want you to notice in verse 1 where the prophet Isaiah makes reference to a very, very important year for that nation. You'll see what it says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now again, I want you to notice that Isaiah highlights here a particular specific year, not only in his own personal life, but also in the life of the nation of Israel. And you'll notice again, it is the year that King Uzziah died. Oftentimes in Scripture, certain events, certain stories are described in connection with a particular birth or death or coronation day. For example, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. That was the year of his reign. 2 Kings 6 says, in the 480th year after the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and so it goes. And obviously the reason for these kinds of statements is to give a chronological reference point to the stories that we are reading. It's to let us know the approximate date of that text. However, in some cases where particular years are mentioned, the real purpose is to put into context not the time of the story, you understand, but rather the reason for it, that is, its spiritual context. In other words, when Isaiah says that he received this vision, quote, in the year that King Uzziah died, every Jewish reader, every listener understood fully what he meant, because they knew he was referring to a very bad year. And you know, that is exactly why the prophet in verse 1 uses a very critical word. Look at it again, would you? He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. You see that word also? You say, Pastor, that's not in my Bible. Well, that's not my fault. Get a Bible that has the word also in it, okay? In other words, in addition to what he and everybody else saw that year, Isaiah, the Bible says, saw something else. I saw also. Look, I suppose that nearly every week of the year, somebody will call me on the phone or text me or stop by the church. And they will say or call the office, Pastor, I've had a very bad day. This or that has happened to me, so I thought I'd drop by and ask for your prayers. And of course, usually they just need a little word of encouragement, maybe a scripture, maybe some biblical truth, because they've had a very bad day. Then again, sometimes people will call me up or they'll stop by and they will say, Pastor, I really need to talk to you because I've had a really, truly bad week. Monday, this went wrong, and Tuesday, my boss said this, and Wednesday, I lost my wallet, and so on. And in those situations, it's a little more complicated than having a bad day. I have also had folks, some right here in this lot, some listening at home, not as many, who come by the office and they say, Pastor, I've got to talk to you. I've had a very bad month, a terrible month. First of the month, I lost my job, and then the car broke down, and then the landlord called, and then my wife got sick. And you know, those are the ones and the times when you need to pull out your Bible and maybe start in chapter 1 and really go through the events with them. But you know, again, those cases are not as serious as those dear people who come by, and they have on occasion, and they said, Pastor, I've got to talk with you again. I'm desperate. I don't know what to do because I've had the worst year of my life. January, my wife got sick and I lost my job and the car broke down, a landlord called. And then in February, the repair bill came and my wife got sicker and the landlord kicked us out. In March, my wife had surgery and the kids flunked school and our dog died and we moved in with our mother-in-law and it just got worse and worse, you know. I have to tell you something. There are folks in this room, and they say, Pastor, I've had a very bad year. There are folks in this room who know what it is and know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, my golf coach used to say to me, Jim, three, he said, is a pattern. If you're practicing, for example, and you hit three hook shots in a row, he said, that's a pattern, and it's a bad pattern, and you need to get out of it quickly. Of course, when you're working on something good, he said, hitting a draw or a soft fade. Practice, he said, until you hit three in a row, because three is a pattern. Three good putts, three good iron shots, even three bad shots. It's always a pattern. Well, think about this for a moment. January 2020, February, and today is the last day of March. 3 months, three is a pattern. And a lot of folks can say, who are watching, listening, who are here in this lot, a lot of folks can say, based upon the first 3 months of 2020, it's been a pretty tough year. And for most people listening right now, again, you can look back and say, I remember a year just like that. Now follow this very, very carefully. The year that King Uzziah died was a discouraging, especially disheartening and disillusioning year for the people of God. Because for the entire year, God was judging Uzziah and Israel for their sins of presumption and idolatry. Remember this. Uzziah, according to 2 Chronicles 26, became the king of Israel when he was but 20 years of age. The Bible says that when he became king, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, the Lord prospered Israel greatly with wealth and with power. Consequently, the nation of Israel loved, the people loved their king, Uzziah. And they did so for 52 years. That would be like me having the same president, a wonderful president, for since I was 10 years of age. He was the apple of the people's eye. But you know, as is so often the case, Uzziah's prosperity led to his pride. And eventually he sinned against God. Eventually he offered incense on the altar as a priest to God, which was a great sin of presumption against the Lord. And so God, who is no respecter of persons, the Bible says, smote Uzziah with leprosy until he died. The entire nation was in shock. Their beloved king dying and dead. And because of leprosy, no less. And according to the first five chapters of Isaiah, the entire nation was guilty of idolatry and presumption. And they too were under the judgment of God. I'll say it again. The year that King Uzziah died was a year filled with sorrows and disappointment and a lot of fear for God's people. Just to the north of them, the king was about to invade, and they knew it, like the sword of Damocles hanging over their heads. Everywhere you looked, it was dark. The news was bad, the outlook was bleak, the priests were corrupt, and the people who loved God were especially discouraged because they remembered when Uzziah was a man of God. But now it seemed as if the very foundations of society were crumbling beneath them. Which brings us to this question. What do you do in a time like that? What do you do when you're having the worst year of your life, as Isaiah himself was? Isaiah was very close to Uzziah. You know, David said it like this in Psalm 11 when he said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Good question. In fact, it's a really good question for today. Well, did you know that the answer to David's question in Psalm 11 and verse 3 is identical to God's answer to Isaiah? Again, what did God show Isaiah? Look at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw also, what did you also see, Isaiah? I saw also the Lord. I saw the Lord. Pastor, do you see the evil that's in the land today? Do you see the selfishness of so many people? Don't you see the apathy and even the lack of faith of people who are called children of God? Yes, I see it, but I also see the Lord. Pastor, do you see the sorrow, the sickness, the financial burdens all around us? I do see it. But I also see the Lord. But Pastor Blaylock, don't you see these fake preachers and these fake healers and shysters in Christianity? Don't you see the materialistic greed and the false doctrine? I see it. You see it. But we also see the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Because it is not just that Isaiah saw the Lord. There are a lot of people in our society who say, oh, I see Jesus and I love Jesus. And, you know, it's not just that he saw the Lord. It's something else. What else did Isaiah see in verse 1 when it says he saw also the Lord? Look at it again, would you? Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, here it is, sitting upon a throne. high and lifted up. Now, wait a minute. Uzziah's throne was vacated that year. Leprosy took his life. But God's throne was not vacated. In the year that King Uzziah died, the priesthood was corrupt. Evil was rampant. But the Lord, the high priest, he was still high, lofty, and lifted up. It says in verse 3 that the seraphim were still crying out, what? Holy, the Father. Holy, the Son. Holy, the Spirit. Holy, Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Three's a pattern. Holy is the Lord of hosts. In other words, all of the iniquity of men did not pollute at all the throne of God. Can I remind you again of the question of David when he said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Do you remember the answer? The question was in verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The very next verse, verse 4 says this, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, watched the fall of David's throne. He watched the looting and the murder by heathens. He watched the destruction of their temple. He watched the carrying away of his beloved people into Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah watched his beloved nation ignore all of his warnings and plunge headlong into the judgment of God. You talk about a bad year. It was the worst year of his life. Jeremiah said, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people. Jeremiah had a broken heart because there was sorrow on every side. So what does God show him? What is God's message and remedy to him for the worst year of his life? Here it is, Jeremiah 17:12. He says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of my sanctuary. Wow. Jeremiah says, Ben, it's a mess out there. I've cried buckets of tears for the situation we are in. It's terrible. However, he says, I have a sanctuary. And that sanctuary is a throne. It is God's throne, not the White House, not the pastor's study, not the boss's office, not the CDC, certainly not MSNBC. My sanctuary, Jeremiah says, is found in a glorious high throne from the beginning, higher than the corrupted thrones of men, more permanent than the temporary thrones of men. This place where God is always just and holy. This place where sin does not stain. This place of permanence and protection and peace and power. This, Jeremiah says, is the place of my sanctuary. You know, the prophet Daniel, captive in a heathen land, destitute of all that Israel considered good and holy. Young Daniel is surrounded by pagans. And so what is it, beloved? What is it that God will show that young man to encourage his spirits? What truth does he need? And here it is. In Daniel 7, it says, I beheld till the thrones were established, and the Ancient of Days did sit. His throne was as a fiery flame. The Apostle John, the youngest of all of the apostles, the young man who called himself in his gospel the disciple whom Jesus loved. Later in the epistles, he calls himself the elder unto the church. But finally in Revelation, he simply calls himself Epaphras, a servant of God. You know what he sees? You know what he says at the age of 90 after being persecuted and alone? He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, this is the Lord's day. Amen. And we are in the Spirit. And he says, behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. And that one was the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, who exactly do you think that Isaiah saw when he got a glimpse of the throne of God? Do you want a verse that proves another one that proves the deity of Christ? In John chapter 12 and verse 39, it was Jesus himself who was quoting from Isaiah. He said, therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of Jesus and spake of him. That's who he saw. You see, folks, the point of the word also is that while you see the negatives and the heartaches and the problems and the obstacles and all the disappointments, also, you see Jesus. Not just a throne, but somebody on that throne who loves you, who knows you, who was in all points tempted and tried and tested, even as you. You think about young Stephen. Stephen, this has got to be the worst year of your life. In fact, your life is ending. You're a holy man, a just man, but you're suffering and dying at the hands of your own people. This isn't right. What kind of reward is that? And Stephen says what? He says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Don't you see, beloved? God is trying to tell and to teach us that all these examples of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and David and Stephen and John and all through the Bible, these examples written for our learning to remind us that even in the year that King Uzziah died, even in the worst year of your life, God is still ruling, watching from his throne. God is not moved. God is not shaken. God is not worried. God is not surprised. God is not upset by the heathen that rage. God is ever ruling on the throne of grace. And by the way, I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Bible calls it the throne of grace. The Hebrew writer says, "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace." Boldly you can. You know, I remember when Benjamin was 4 years old, he helped Louise make a cake for my birthday. Later that night, when I got home, we all sat around the dinner table to eat, and as always in those days, Ben was the one who wanted to say grace, and he would fold his hands, and he would always peek his eyes a little bit open because he wanted to see everything that we were eating so he could thank the Lord for every individual item, and he did. "Dear Jesus, thank you for the potatoes and the gravy and the corn and the iced tea and the ham and the green beans," and he would go on and on. But on this, my birthday, he was overdoing it. I couldn't figure out why. "Lord, and thank you for the plates and the fork." And then he just got frustrated. He said, "And Lord, where's the cake?" He made it. He wanted it there at the table, but it wasn't. And I wanted to say, "Ben, you don't talk to God like that." But you know what he did? He came boldly out of the mouth of babes. Can I tell you something? In the worst year of your life, in the worst 3 months of your life, on the worst day of your life, you're going to see a lot of things. But what God wants you and I to see also is his throne, a throne of grace and mercy, immutable power, that he wants you to come, if you're saved and you're under the blood, he wants you to come boldly to that throne, because seated on that throne is the Lord, high and lifted up. And you know the reason it says that his train, the train of his robe, fills the temple is to remind us that there's no room for another. He is our Lord, and he alone. I wonder this morning, those of you at home and here in the lot, I wonder if we, like Isaiah, will bow before his majesty and glory and take courage today. We were talking a moment ago about how long we may have to do service like this. I don't know. I really don't know. Neither do you. But I know this. I know that God knows. He knows. In the end, as you all know, Isaiah was a changed man. He was never the same. He was so humbled by what he saw. He said, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." And the next cry of his heart was this: "Here am I. Send me." Do you know what our nation really needs right now? A few more Isaiahs who say, "I'm a person of unclean lips, but here am I. Send me." Our Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. And thank you, God, that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah had a sanctuary. That in the year that Jeremiah was taken captive and his people were sent away, he had a sanctuary. Thank you, Lord, that John on the island of Patmos, that Daniel in faraway Babylon, that every one of us on this property today can say, in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that sickness came to America, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. And may we take courage and give you glory because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.